Welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. Today, I get to connect with Sylvia Duckworth and talk about what inspires and motivates her. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Roland.
Welcome to the... Oh, sorry. Welcome.
This is episode number 2?
No, this is episode number 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard your first one where you did the solo introduction, but I didn't hear Peter's.
Okay.
So I'd be interested, and you'll have to send me the link after.
Oh, for sure. You know, what's really awesome about this podcast is that people are going to be able to hear about my growth from the first one to the second one to the third one to the fourth one, because I've taken the approach of, if I study this thing too long, I won't do it. So it was one of those things where I got enough information to get me started and enough information, enough support to give me the confidence to just jump in. So the first one, like, I was sitting here talking to myself and I was like, this is not natural. You know, like, I do a lot of self-talk, but not recording it and not then pushing it out to other people to hear. So that was interesting. It was a barrier that I had to get over. And then talking to Peter Skillen was really easy because Peter's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he knows so much that it's like, I'm sitting here asking questions and listening to him, but I'm soaking up everything he's saying, kind of in the same way that I'm going to do when you talk. So,
well, I don't know about that. Your expectation might be too high.
I doubt it. So the podcast is called Roland Chidiac Connects, and it's just about me connecting with people and really talking about what they do, why they do it, and kind of try to get some insight about what motivates them and inspires them. So I'm going to start with talking to you. Okay, so when I think of you, when I think of Sylvia Duckworth, I think two things. I think pre-sketchnoting. Mm-hmm. And I think post sketchnoting, because I like to tell people that I knew you before you started sketchnoting. And the reason why I say that is because when I used to say your name before, French teachers knew exactly who I was talking about. They're like, oh my God, Sylvia Duckworth? You know Sylvia Duckworth? And I'm like, yeah, I've had the pleasure of talking to her and having her support me with a couple of my kind of projects on the side. And now when I say Sylvia Duckworth, people are like, oh my God, that's the lady that does all the sketch notes that I see like all over the internet. And I'm like, that's the same Sylvia Duckworth. So for me, there's the two. It's kind of, I knew you before and I still know you now after.
Yeah.
So I want to know, I want you to tell us, what got you sketch noting? How did you fall in love with it?
It all started about a year and a half ago, Roland, when I started to see a lot of sketch notes on social media and I was intrigued with them. They were so beautiful. I just thought, what a great creative outlet and being able to blend it with education. But I haven't drawn since I was a kid. So I stopped drawing when I was about 10 years old. I decided I wasn't very good at it. And then I took it up about a year and a half ago. And because I love everything tech, I decided to try it on my iPad. And I totally fell in love with it. It was a huge passion of mine. It continues to be. I don't put as much time into it as I probably did in the first year. I'm going to say I've slowed down in the past 6 months. I've had so many other projects on the go. But it's something I do with huge enjoyment, and it really relaxes me. And I'm always looking for things to draw. I'm looking at blog posts. I'm looking at TED Talks. And just off the top of my head, when I think, you know, this really deserves a sketch note, I'll just sit down and try to draw something. But I've been having lots of fun.
That's very cool. And I think that's the bottom line, is you have to really enjoy it. You have to really, and it sounds to me like, you know, you picked it up one day because you saw it on the internet, you thought, I'm going to give this a shot, and you just kind of fell into it, right?
Yeah, and it's so cool because it's kind of a combination of digital and analog, because I'm using the iPad, but I'm still drawing with my hand. And so it's kind of a bit of old school mixed with new school, which gives it a certain appeal. And I don't feel confident as an artist, but that's part of the appeal of sketch notes, I think, is that people look at them and say, well, that could have been done by a kid. And so you don't have to be an artist. You don't have to have any kind of training to take up sketch noting. It's just a matter of rediscovering your love of drawing and accessing your inner child and remembering what it was like to be a kid under 10 years old when you loved to draw. Roland, do you remember loving to draw when you were little?
I do. I wasn't the greatest artist, which I think a lot of people would probably say about themselves, but I remember doodling and really enjoying it. And like you said, just kind of just chilling out and just going with the flow. And it's funny because after you started sketchnoting, I thought, you know what? Like, I'm gonna check this out. I'm gonna see what this is all about, because I really respect the work you do and where you come from, and because you're so I want to say friendly, but there's got to be a more sophisticated word. But you're so friendly and you put yourself out there and you're always willing to help people out, that I thought, you know, it's that connection we made. And I thought, I'm going to try this out. And I tried it on my iPad, and I thought, this is kind of neat, but it's really not for me. It's not my thing. And that's fine. But I've read about a lot of other people who have tried it because of you, mm-hmm. and because of the way you constantly put it out there. Mm-hmm. And I really like that you just said that, you know, you're not an artist. You're just trying it out and you like it. And some of your work does look like a kid did it, but yeah. I say that with all due respect, because mm-hmm. when I look at it, it's that it does remind me of being a kid. Mm-hmm. It takes me back, and it's like, it's simple yet sophisticated. And what makes it sophisticated is that it is so simple, and that the message within it is so powerful. Like I've seen some of your sketch. Well, I've seen a lot of them. I can't say I've seen them all, but when I run into them, I do pay attention to the message. And I know your sketch notes from other people's sketch notes, because you have a style. There's a je ne sais quoi about your work that when I see it, I know that's Sylvia's work. For so sure. It's really cool to then see your name and then to see you transforming other people's ideas and concepts, mm-hmm. and then bringing them to life in a sketch note. Yeah. I'm very honored that you had sketch noted one of my ideas, one of my blog posts about what I call the top 5 reasons to implement GAF with students. So I was, when I asked you to do that, I was really honored that you would, because I know it takes time, but I treasure that sketch note. So when people ask me about my work with Google Apps for Education, mm-hmm. that's the first place I lead them to. I don't even send them to the blog post. Mm-hmm. I send them to your sketch note.
That's cool.
And I'm like, yeah, because they look at that and it's so easy for them to digest. Yeah. They look at it and they're like, oh, okay, I get it. And then when they want to know more, it's like, okay, let's talk about the blog post. Let's talk about my experiences and what I've seen. But I mean, enough about me. Yeah, this is about you.
But I think that's why my sketch notes and sketch notes in general appeal to so many people, is because I think most people are visual learners, and it's so much easier to look at a drawing and to look at 10 different points that have doodles associated with them than it is to read a blog post. And if the sketch note entices someone to go ahead and read the blog post, then that's even better. But teachers are, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time. And so sometimes just a visual representation of a blog post is enough to get a teacher thinking about the topic of the blog post.
Yeah. And when you talk about time, you're right on with that. Like, mm-hmm. I know it probably, I don't know how much time it takes you to crank out a sketch note, but is it faster than writing a blog post?
I guess it all depends on the detail that goes into the drawing and the detail of the blog post. I put quite a bit of time into my drawings. I say I could spend anywhere from 2 to 4 hours on a drawing.
Okay.
But like I said, it's all enjoyable. I actually do it a lot in front of the TV. My husband loves to watch TV. He loves to watch sports. And it actually gives me something to do while I sit next to him. I've also been blown away by the positive reaction of people to my sketch notes, and I'm grateful that people enjoy them and love to share them too.
Yeah, it's like I told you, when I come across them in a retweet, or when I'm reading my Flipboard before I go to bed and I see an educational article and there's your sketch note, it's like, that's awesome. Like, it's just, the reach is so amazing. Yeah. And not, if for me, it's like, because I think I have a feel of who you are as a person because mm-hmm. I've met you face to face and stuff like that. We've communicated. So it's just really cool to see your work out there because it's good work and that people need that, right? So you're providing people with that. And that's, I think it's great.
You know, Doug Peterson was really behind my sketch notes, some of them going viral. He was and continues to be a very loyal fan, and he's always retweeting stuff that I sketch note. So I wanted to give a little shout out to him and a couple of educators on social media who also were mentors to me when I started off. One, her name is Karen Bosch, and she's a sketch noter. She lives in the States. I'm not sure exactly where she lives. And the other one was Sylvia Tolisano, who was originally from Argentina, but I think she's living in the States now. And when I started sketchnoting, I had tons of questions for them, and they were always answering me. And so I like to feel that when people contact me now and ask me questions about how to get started, I like to sort of pay it forward and help people get started as well.
It's so awesome to hear you talk about the people that supported you when you started. So I guess it'd be a good time now to explain to people how you and I got connected. So I learned about you from Ferdinand Kraus, who is the IT and tech consultant for my school board, the Waterloo Catholic District School Board. And it was Ferdinand, he connected with you to do some collaborative work with your students around French and using Google Apps for Education. And then Ferdinand and I were, I don't know if we were at a GAF summit, we were somewhere and you were there, and that's where I met you face to face. And I had heard so many good things about you from Ferdinand. I had heard so many good things from other people that were both connected to on Twitter and stuff like that, that it was really easy. So when I applied for the Google Teacher Academy, you were one of the first people that I asked to, I asked you questions, I asked you to look over my answers, I asked you to look at my video, and you were so supportive and you provided such great feedback that for me, it wasn't difficult to kind of take your feedback and try to roll it in and think about it and reflect on it, because you were so genuine in your approach to supporting me. And I'm sure you're doing that with other people as well. So when you talk about, you know, having mentors, I see you as the same for me in terms of the Google Teacher Academy and things like that. So mm-hmm. it really is a pleasure to get to talk to you on the podcast and hear about, you know, what gets you going, what makes you tick. So thank you for that. I appreciate you saying that. And then I appreciate the opportunity to tell you from my perspective as well.
That's so nice.
So would you say that, is sketchnoting taking up a lot of your time now in terms of the creation portion of what you do outside of the classroom?
No, I try to keep sketchnoting just as a pleasurable activity. A lot of people have contacted me and asked if they can, you know, hire me to do sketchnotes. And I've really had to put my foot down because I've noticed that when I'm doing a sketchnote on commission and with the possibility of getting financially reimbursed for it, it actually takes away a lot of enjoyment of the drawing for me, because I like to pick and choose my projects. And if it's not something I feel passionate about drawing, then I have a really hard time coming up with ideas on how to draw it. So I haven't been doing as much drawing recently as I did about a year ago. I mean, about 6 months ago. But I've also got so many other projects on the go. I just plain don't have time to do as much drawing as I'd like to. It's been a really busy summer. I've been really fortunate to attend a lot of conferences as a speaker and also as a participant. Most recently, I was in Mountain View, California headquarters, Google headquarters, attending the Google Geo Teachers Summit, which was amazing. Learned all about Geo Tools, Google Maps and Google Earth and My Maps and expeditions and all kinds of great stuff. And it was so nice to be on the receiving end. I've been doing a lot of conferences as a presenter, and it's so nice to be back as a participant, just absorbing the information by these awesome presenters. So that was a lot of fun. That was 2 days. And I've just had a great summer attending other conferences and spending time with my family. It's been wonderful.
I've been fortunate enough to see those pictures on social media, and it's great. Like, you know, when I saw that you were in California, I was like, oh, she's in California. You know, it's like, I wish I could go back there, but because it's a magical place. Like, Google headquarters is a really cool place.
Yeah. Well, another great moment that happened to me this summer was meeting my mentee. So the new innovator program matches the innovators with mentors, and it's an amazing connection that's established. It's sort of I felt honored that her name was Stacy Young, and she's a young educator from California, and I felt honored that she wanted me as a mentor, and she felt honored that I wanted to work with her. So it's sort of a win-win situation, and we communicated several times over the past few months by Google Hangouts, and we met in a restaurant. My husband was with me, and he laughed after. He said it was the funniest thing, because she walked in the door and we actually ran towards each other and like gave us each other a huge hug. Like, you develop such a bond working with a mentor like that and a mentee over the course of a few months. So that was another highlight for me being in California, for sure, was to meet up with her.
That's awesome. I can imagine, you know, when you're two people are passionate about something and then are connected to work on it, I get that feeling. I know what you're talking about. I'm not a hugger, but if people could kind of read my mind or my emotion, they would see that when I connect with someone that does that for me and they feel the same about me, it's amazing. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the other neat thing about that relationship was that although I was her mentor, she was my mentee, I'm convinced I learned a lot more from her than she did from me. Like, her project was amazing. Her project was all about getting a student tech team together at her school and in her board. And it's something that I've wanted to do at my school. And so gave me the incentive to maybe do something like that with my students next year. So I really felt like the roles were reversed, but I'm hoping that she felt that she got some kind of support for me. If not from what she was doing directly, I hope that she got some mental and emotional support for me, because she was amazing. I just loved working with her.
I'm sure she did. You're a natural when it comes to stuff like that. So I'm sure she got a lot out of it, but I know what you're saying. I've told many people who I've connected with, be prepared for me to suck a lot of knowledge out of you, more so than you out of me, because I think, you know, we're always learning, and that's the key, is to not be satisfied with what you know and to kind of keep pushing the envelope, no matter who you connect with. And I know, you know, you're saying that, and I feel the same way. There's lots of us that feel like that, and I think it's great. When you were talking about your sketchnoting and, you know, when you're doing it for money, it's different for you, because you were saying you like to do it for fun. You like to, you know, have your flow, go with your flow. And, you know, I love that you sit with your husband as he's chilling out in front of the TV and you two are together, but you're both doing your thing, which is I think it's great. So is it fair to say then for you that the things you go after, the projects you're involved in, the motivation to do those things comes from the passion initially?
Oh yeah. It's all about passion. I mean, if you don't have passion for a project, then you're not likely to complete it. And if you do complete it, you probably won't do it very well. So it's definitely has to be hand in hand for sure. And it's something that I think about a lot with my students as well. Like, what we need to figure out ways to give them more agency to be able to choose the types of projects they want to work on in class, because then they will be more motivated to work on them and to put more of an effort into them and do a good job. So I find that's something that works across the board for teachers and for students.
Now, where do you feel you get a lot of your inspiration from in general?
I get inspiration from teachers who, exactly as you said, step out of their comfort zone and try new things. Like, I'm totally inspired by what you're doing now, Roland. This is amazing. This is something that you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're new to podcasting, and here you are jumping with 2 feet. So I admire teachers like you who just decide they want to do something and just go for it. I had huge admiration for Michelle Cordy recently, having seen her in person, her keynote at ISTE conference. Did you hear about it, Roland?
I did hear about it, and I got to talk to her about it.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
You know what? Cordy fascinates me. She already knows that. She's similar to you, very supportive, very open, very authentic. I don't know what it was like. Like, I saw her keynote at the GAF Summit, mm-hmm. and she was saying to me when I spoke to her that there are connections between the two, but I forgot to ask her when I did speak to her if it was going to be available online for people to see. Does ISTE make those available?
Apparently it's coming, but
somebody did Periscope it. But she just nailed it. Like, it was, she had people laughing, and at the end everyone was crying, and she was full of energy, and, her lovable,
adorable self out on stage, just her whole personality. And she had people eating out of the palm of her hands, and she was so inspiring because I saw it at the GAF Summit as you did. And it almost was not the same presentation, you know, the iteration that occurred during the time that we saw it and the final product was really quite something. I mean, she did a wonderful job the first time I saw it as well, but it was so much more polished. And you could tell all the work that she put into that. That was very inspirational.
Very good. Now, what do you think stops people from following their passions in education?
Well, it could be administration. I mean, if you don't have a supportive administrator, then you're going to be coming across roadblocks a lot. So I think you have to have a supportive administration for sure. Some people just don't like to take risks. Some people are easy. Or they just want to take the easy way out. They're, you know, they've been teaching the same way for however many number of years, and why change now? That always boggles my mind when I come across teachers like that, because if you're teaching the same way you were teaching 10 years ago, there's a problem. If you were teaching the same way you were teaching last year, that's a problem. Like, you have to always be trying new things to grow and to give your students need to know that you're willing to try new things. Otherwise, why would they be trying new things? You know, you have to be a role model in the classroom. And one of the major things is just stepping out of the comfort zone and trying something new.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be anything too big. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I always say to people, always, and make it sound like I'm always talking to people. But in the presentations I've done, people have asked me, or the workshops, I should say, people ask me, like, how do you do this? How do you get started? And I tell them, you're looking at my work, and you're forgetting about all the risks that I took, and maybe you're just not aware that I had to start somewhere. And I started small because that's more my style. I start with what I can digest and I move on from there. But it's all about taking that first step. And it's all about, I'm doing the talking now. I don't really want to be doing the talking, but what you're saying sits with me. It resonates with me that, you know, people say, I want to do this. And it's like, well, what's stopping you? Mm. And, you know, what's stopping you truly? Is it you? Is it fear? Is it that you won't be supported? And then you have to think about, if you feel that it's going to be because you won't be supported, then is it really worth your time? And how much is this support worth? Like, if you really are passionate about something, doesn't matter who's supporting you or not supporting you, mm-hmm. you know, step into it. And I've seen some people take that first little step and then realize quickly, this isn't for me. And that's fair. You tried it. You don't really like it. It doesn't sit well with you. Move on to whatever else, you know, tickles your fancy, and give it a shot and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what you're saying is huge. And I think that there are a lot of people who think people like you and I are kind of crazy mm-hmm. for the things we do. And But you know, you've mentioned the word passion several times now. You talk about sketchnoting because it's fun. I mean, there's none of that is high pressure situation. Yeah. That's you're doing what you love, and you're doing it on your terms, and you're enjoying yourself. And it's almost like, why can't that be part of stepping out of your comfort zone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think some teachers are perhaps also lacking inspiration. And to those teachers, I say you need a PLN, you need a professional/personal learning network. If you're lacking inspiration, if you're lacking motivation, you have to get on social media, because once you get on social media and you see the amazing things that teachers are doing out there, you can't help to be inspired. You can't help to be motivated. You can't help to want to try new things. And so it's something that I'm trying to get more teachers at my school involved in, is getting more attached to social media, but it's a bit of a slow go, unfortunately. But I think you and I can both agree that we would not be here. We would not be Google certified innovators if it wasn't for social media. I mean, I heard about it on Twitter. If I wasn't on Twitter, I would have never heard about it.
Right. Yeah. And that's how, I mean, that's, I echo that, because that's where a lot of my ideas and that's where a lot of my inspiration, motivation have come from, other people, you know, just kind of going back and forth with them. Different people too, because I've heard people say to me, well, what's the difference between your social media PLN and the staff room at your school? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you know, no offense to my staff from my school, but it's static. It's the same every day, all the time. Nothing's changing the way that I require the change for me to change. But on social media, I get to pick and choose what I see and what I read and who I follow and who I engage with. And so that dynamic thing that social media has going on, and the people that are there willing to share and willing to model for me what it looks like and what I can do in my own world with my own reality, has been a huge game changer for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, some might even argue it isn't a game changer, I'm just who I am, but I think social media has allowed me to kind of connect and tap into people. Like, I know you from social media. Mm-hmm. I met Michelle Cordy on social media. Peter Skillen, I knew all about Peter Skillen on social media before I met him a few years ago in Toronto. So it's a foundation that allows you to build upon in a different way than real life. Mm-hmm. And being in your school within those four walls.
Absolutely. And the other thing I love about social media is when you meet people face-to-face after you've already connected with them on social media, there's no ice-breaking that has to be done. You just feel like you're already friends. And it's like you've been friends for a long time, which I always find interesting when I meet someone face-to-face. I always love it. This is why I love going to conferences also. It gives me the chance to connect. I mean, social media is great, but there's nothing like face-to-face. For sure.
I am a shy person. So it's very easy for me to talk on social media with people. But the initial face-to-face meeting is a killer for me.
Really?
It's a killer. Yeah, because I don't feel... It's weird. So I'll give you a great example. So 2 years ago... The year before, I was going to present at the Ontario GAF Summit, and I sent Jonathan So a Twitter message, and I said, "Listen, they're looking for presenters, and so I'm saying to you, they're looking for presenters. Like, you should apply. You should talk at the Ontario Summit about the work you do in your classroom." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, that's a great idea." So we went back and forth for a couple of months about our ideas, and we kind of putting our stuff together, whatever. And then the day came. Mm-hmm. And I get a tweet, and he says to me, "Okay, I'm in the building waiting to meet you." And I was like, "Oh God," you know?
Really?
We were tweeting back and forth for like a year, you know. Wow. engaged in all kinds of conversation about all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden it's time to meet face to face, and it's like, it's killing me. But then once once the initial, hey man, how are you? Shake hands, sit down, get a bite to eat and a drink. Mm-hmm. Then it was like we were rolling. Mm. But up until then, for me, that's very difficult for me. So I hear you talk about it and it's like, no big thing. You know, for you, it's easy because you've done all the work. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, even though I've done all the work, there's still something about that. It's, you know, I tell my wife I'm an introvert and she's like, no, you're not. I tell my wife I'm shy. She's like, no, you're not. So it's all about perspective, I guess. But yeah, so you said that and I thought of it. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah, no, I find it so much easier than just meeting a random person that you know nothing about, you have no had no previous connection with. I mean, if you have a previous connection with them on social media, you know what they're all about. You've read their blog. You've exchanged ideas, and then face to face, it's a piece of cake, as opposed to meeting someone you've had no history with.
That's thrown me for a loop. When we're done talking, I'm going to be reflecting on that this evening. Because I think it's easier for me to connect with someone I've never met before. Now, how weird is that?
That's very weird. Yeah. I don't know if you're weird or if I'm weird.
Well, it's, I don't know what it is. I do know when I went to Mountain View for the Teacher Academy, I remember meeting people like Woody Gorton and David Terrio and J.R. Jinix Orion, who I knew like about their social media, their Twitter handles, and I followed them and stuff. I had no problem jumping at them and saying, hey, it's me, Roland. And they probably were looking at me like, you're crazy. I don't know who you are. But in those situations, I had no problem. But in other situations, I find it's difficult for me. Hmm. But you know what? It's part of stepping out of my comfort zone, because when I go, because I tell people when I connect with them online, social media, I say, you have any questions, feel free to ask and I'll help you out in any way I can, because of, I like to think that I'm a decent person that way, but from the support I got from people like yourself and Tanya Avrith, when I was looking into the Teacher Academy, all of you were very supportive and lent me support without even knowing me. So I do offer that out to people. And so when I meet them face to face, it's difficult. But at the same time, I feel like that's how I'm going to continue to grow. It's that funny feeling inside that says, don't do it, that I put aside, do it, and then feel really good about. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes with what we were talking about earlier in terms of trying something new, mm-hmm. stepping out of your comfort zone, and realizing that it's not going to be that bad once you get going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you never know what strengths you might have in other areas if you don't give it a try. I would have never known that I had any talent for drawing until I took it up.
What you said reminds me of a quote I heard about somebody talking about people's strengths, and the quote goes something like, you should always focus on your strengths because everybody else is not. Right? There, people are so quick to say negative things or to think negative things. And so it's important for people to know what they're good at. What's one or two pieces of advice you'd give to someone? And you've kind of already given us some of that, but I want the last words to come from you about what would you say to people out there who want to do things? They have that passion. They feel strongly about something, but they just don't. They don't have the motivation to take it to the next step. What would you say to those people?
See, I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me. If you have passion for something, I don't understand how you couldn't be motivated to follow up on it. So maybe what you're saying is, if you've got passion for something, but you find you don't have time to follow up on your passion, maybe. But for me, if you're passionate about something, then you're going to be motivated to do something about it. But maybe that's just the way I live my life. Can you give me an example of someone who might be passionate for something but is not motivated to act on it?
Sure. So let's say a teacher says to you, you know what, Sylvia, I've been reading a lot about this makerspace type thing. Mm. And, you know, I feel strongly about students being able to create things with a variety of different materials, you know, to attach what they're going to make or create based on the things that they're learning in class. I feel really strongly that's really important. I believe in it. I just don't know what to do next. What do I do?
Oh, well, that's where you have to reach out to your PLNN and to teachers that are already doing stuff like that and asking them for advice. So,
but Sylvia, I'm scared. I'm scared of Twitter. I'm scared to put myself out there, and I don't know how it works. I mean, you do it, and I see all the great people that you interact with, but I'm really scared. I'm worried about my privacy. I'm worried about being out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to give you a lesson on how to use TweetDeck, and that'll calm your nerves, and you can organize your tweets, and you'll see that it's very easy to get on social media. But you've got nothing to worry about and everything to gain.
Excellent. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I do get what you're saying. If you're so passionate about something, why isn't it that you don't feel the motivation to do it? And when you came back to the PLN piece, it, you know, people have fears, and I think sometimes they just need a venue to express those fears. And once they do that, then they can move on to the next step. Like when you said that you'd sit down with me and teach me how to use TweetDeck, I instantly felt like, okay, someone's going to take me through this. Somebody's going to walk me through the beginning stages of this. And then from that point, you know, I can get my feet under me and I can start to move forward.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But that's another reason why conferences are so great and why teachers have to attend conferences, because then they get a chance to be in a room with a presenter who has experience with what they're talking about, and they can have hands-on experience with whatever the topic is at hand. So I'm a huge believer in social media, but I'm also a huge believer in face-to-face, and I'm also a huge believer in getting out there and going to conferences.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like you harness what you need to move forward, to learn, to connect, no matter what it is, whether, you know, it's digital or not. You got to take advantage. You got to take the opportunity and go with the flow.
Right. And it's all about connections, as George Kuros would say. It's all about connections. Like, there's only so much you can do on social media, but face-to-face is nothing beats face-to-face.
Sylvia, if people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
On Twitter, at Sylvia Duckworth is probably the best way to connect with me. You can always email me, sduckworth100@gmail.com. I'd say those were probably the best two options.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to sit with me and talk about your passions, your motivation. And you did tell us a little bit about your inspiration, too. And I think you were inspired by other people just like the rest of us are. And that's my hope, is to accumulate enough of these interviews and meetings with people that, you know, I'm already starting to see a trend. I know I've only spoken to a few people, but the trend is there. And, you know, hopefully as time goes on, I can hear from people outside of education and see if what motivates them is the same thing that motivates teachers. But I think, you know, there's too much of people looking up to other people for motivation and inspiration when it's really among us. You know, it's next door, or it's a tweet away. And I think people don't realize that as much as maybe they should or be aware of it.
Well said. So how do teachers hear your podcast, Roland? Are you going to put them online somewhere?
Yeah. So for people who are into Apple, it's in the iTunes store right now. So the podcast, if you go to the podcast app on your iPad or iPhone, you can search me out, Roland Chidiac Connects, and it'll take you right to my podcast. I'm also learning how to. I was just before I connected with you, and put the kids to bed. I was learning about how to get my podcast into the Google Play Music.
Okay.
Store. And also I have a blog where I do like my notes for the podcast and stuff, and people that the audio is available there as well. So
good.
Yeah, they can check it out on the blog. They could get it. They could subscribe on iTunes. I even found out today. It's funny you say that because one of my followers on Twitter wanted to know how he could subscribe to it on his Android device. And he had mentioned the app that he was using. And yeah. They responded and they told him to simply take the iTunes link that I had provided on Twitter and plug it right into their app. And then it would allow him on his Android device to subscribe. So, I mean, failing all else, people can go to the blog and actually hear the audio that's sitting there waiting to be taken into iTunes.
Well, I'm on my iPad now and I'm in iTunes. What am I going to be looking for?
Okay, so if you're in your iPad, instead of going to iTunes, can you just go to your podcast app?
But I don't have a podcast app, do I?
You don't have, you should.
Why would I have a podcast app?
On your iPad?
Oh, I do have a podcast app. I've never used
it. Yeah. Oh, okay. This will be the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you
when I look for Roland.
Yeah, if you search Roland Chidiac Connects.
Okay.
You'll see it'll give you this really awesome picture of this handsome guy with a big beard wearing sunglasses. And that's where I live on iTunes or in iTunes, I guess.
It says no results. Hang on a second. I'm going to try that one more time.
Sure.
Search Roland Chidiac. Roland Chidiac. What's the rest
connects.
Of it? Connects.
The word, yeah, the word connects.
Yep.
Nothing?
Oh, wait. Yes, I found it. Oh, that's a nice avatar. Where did you get that?
Well, I took a selfie in my garage. I took a selfie because I had a friend who said that he had heard that I was growing out my beard, and he's like, I want to see it. Okay. So I took a quick shot, sent it to him. And then I've been playing around with the Prisma app, which is really awesome, as you know.
Yeah.
And I was flicking through it, and I used this one template, and I really liked it. And then, so I saved it on my phone. And then when I was putting the podcast together, I needed some cover art. And I thought, you know what? That's who I am, really. That's the native Roland right there. So
I love it.
I took it. Yeah, I took it and I stuck it there with my name, the podcast name beside it. And that was my art.
That's very cool. Very cool. Looks like a professional did it.
Yeah, I'm far from that. Thank God for the apps.
Love it. Okay, well, I look forward to hearing this later then. Thanks for having me, Roland.
As soon as it's up, I'll let you know. Thank you, Sylvia.